Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. On May 1st, strong mayor powers came into effect in Cobourg, Port Hope, Trent Hills, and Brighton. The province granted these in an effort to push its agenda forward, in particular to meet its goals of building 1.5 million homes by 2031. Larger urban centers were given these same powers 2 years ago, but on April 9th, 169 smaller municipalities got them as well. In this interview, Brighton Mayor Brian Ostrander discusses the recent implementation of strong mayor powers in his municipality. He will talk about his surprise at the decision, and he questions its necessity given Brighton's current state of housing development. He outlines his approach to these new powers and commits to prioritizing Brighton's interests and plans to selectively use these new powers. I am absolutely delighted to have with me today Brighton Mayor Brian Ostrander. Welcome back to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you, Robert. Always a pleasure.
If you were to describe strong mayor powers to a stranger, what would you tell them?
I would tell them it very much mirrors many of the American models we see, but in a weird amalgamation of the Canadian way we elect mayors. So in the United States, many larger communities, you may see a mayoralty that is sort of separated from their council and therefore has these powers, much like the presidency of the United States, you know, veto powers, executive order powers, those kinds of things for their communities. And but in by and large, those mayors don't sit on council. They are a separate entity from council. So, you know, it's a division of powers, whereas in our country, we tend to mix those powers together, much like we do at the parliamentary level, for example.
On April 9th, Brighton was granted strong mayor powers, along with 168 other municipalities. Was there any indication prior to this date that this was coming?
No, I had no idea that this would be coming forward. Our MPP gave me a quick heads up the morning of.
What was your first reaction to receiving the news?
I was shocked. I actually never thought that communities of our size would see strong mayor powers. I know that there are mayors who have been advocating for this. I wasn't one of them. I actually think that the role of the mayor in a community is to work with your council and staff and use your influence in the community to get those things done that need to be done. Without these legislated powers.
There was a generic letter sent out to all mayors from the Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing, Rob Flack, explaining the decision to give Brighton strong mayor powers. The justification says, and I'm quoting here, to further support municipalities in delivering much needed housing and other provincial priorities. I am pleased to inform you that our government intends to expand strong mayor powers to your municipality. When you assess the current state of development in Brighton and council's decision related to development and developers, was this something you felt you needed to meet provincial priorities?
Absolutely not. Brighton is building quite quickly. We have a lot of housing stock in the works or in the pipeline. Our council has approved, I think, every single development with the exception of one small one. which was near the lake and had some environmental concerns and frankly some neighborhood concerns about whether it fit into the neighborhood. So, but we have hundreds of houses in the pipeline coming to Brighton. So I did not see this. I do not see our council as a no council. Our council is a yes and, yes, let's build houses and let's make sure that developers are providing the services and stock that we need, both from an infrastructure perspective, physical infrastructure perspective, and social infrastructure perspective. And we work very well with our local developers.
So then, why did you get the strong mayor powers?
That's a question you'd have to ask the minister, Mr. Washburn. I don't know the answer to that question.
But when you look at it, and when you look at what the priorities are and what you're doing, it just seems like you're trying to put a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah, it's sort of like adding a tool to your toolbox that you don't really need. And there it is. I guess it is a tool at the end of the day, but I don't think that Brighton needs this tool. Like I said, we are building houses. I think at the second highest level of any other municipality in Northumberland County. So when you consider that we're a municipality of around 13,000 people, we're doing all right from a provincial priorities perspective.
Did you find the rest of that single-page generic letter helpful in understanding the powers you are now granted?
No, to be quite frank, I had to do a little bit of digging. There was a pretty decent resource on the ministry website that helped parse out the information. I read through the legislation myself. I read through the sort of synopsis of the legislation, which was quite helpful. The CAO in Brighton and I have sat down and gone through this. She also has reached out to other resources to make sure we're understanding what it all means. And we're meeting again today to, I guess, finalize which powers I will be choosing to keep and which powers I will be delegating to council and or staff.
I'd like to come back to that in a moment, but let's start talking about some of these powers. How do you feel about being able to draft the town's budget without any involvement of council?
Well, so right now, the municipality has essentially staff drafts the first round of the budget and brings it to council. So other than, now it would look like me drafting the budget. Some of these powers are granted to communities who would have political staff, and I do not. It's me alone in that office. I am the only political person in that office. I have an administrative assistant who is a quarter time helping me out, and primarily that's just trying to figure out when I'm going to be where. So that this is not the person who will be helping draft a budget. So drafting a budget in Brighton will be very much the work of senior management and the treasurer. And whether that then looks like, the mayor presenting the budget to, I use my quotey fingers and people won't be able to see that on the radio. The mayor providing the budget to council, it really doesn't change a thing. If it's me presenting the budget, the treasurer presenting the budget, senior staff presenting the budget, we will still sit down, we will deliberate the budget, and we will come to conclusions as we do as a seven-person council.
How much involvement does council have now in the drafting of a proposed budget?
Quite a lot. We have about we usually sit down for a good half dozen meetings specific to budget. And we go through, especially the capital budget, we go through that with a fairly, I wouldn't say a fine-tooth comb, that's not true, but with good high level broad brushes to make sure that those projects that we know the community wants done are getting done. And from an operational perspective, just to make sure that things aren't out of control at the end of the day.
I appreciate that as a process after the budget gets presented. I'm talking about before when things are being drafted. I mean, do councillors get an opportunity to say, hey, this is something I want to make sure this gets in or that gets in?
Only through regular council meetings where we, you know, where we make decisions and therefore they have budget implications and that we're aware of, and then, or through very specific determinations of council where we refer something to budget. But no, we don't get into the nitty gritty. There's no budget committee that councillors sit on. We look to staff, senior management to do their due diligence and provide us with a budget that is reasonable and within the realm of possibilities. And, you know, there's always more that needs to be done than we can afford. We know that to be true.
Under these strong powers, the mayor can create or dissolve committees of council, including appointing chairs and vice chairs. How does this compare to the town's current system?
So right now we would do that through council. Council would pass a resolution developing a committee. Generally, we would then ask staff to create a terms of reference. And the committee then would meet and choose its own chair. That's how we're doing things today.
Do you know just offhand how many committees Brighton does have? I know there are numerous ones, but do you have any idea?
If I said a dozen, I'd probably be close to right.
So how do you keep the public's faith in the advisory committee system in the face of these new powers?
Well, you know, I guess cynically, a lot of people might say hardly, if I stop someone on the street and ask them, you know, to name three committees of council, I'll, you know, I would bet that 30% of the people could do that. So, you know, there's always that element of engagement or lack thereof that one has to be concerned about from a municipal perspective. But, you know, I think from a transparency role, anything I do under these new powers, I have to make sure I'm being transparent about. So there'll be a registry detailing what I do. I have committed to council and will again that. Anything I do, I will make sure I have a report, you know, on the agenda so that we're not burying it in some, you know, list on a website. I'll want people to know what I'm doing. I'm going to want to hear feedback. You know, if I've done something wrong, I'm going to want to hear that too. But again, I don't see that I'm going to be using these strong mayor powers a whole lot.
Well, you could see how easily the perception would be that these positions are now filled with friends or allies of yours, right, even if that's not the case.
Right. Right. And so, you know, the choosing of a chair or a vice chair, I think I'm probably going to leave that alone and let the committee structure do what it does best. And that is sit down and decide who their chair is going to be.
Another one of the strong mayor powers that has raised a lot of concern is the impact on the ability to appoint or dismiss town managers like the CAO and directors and others. What is this going to mean to the town?
In Brighton, probably not very much, because right now I'm leaning toward delegating that authority to the CAO, to senior staff. Right now, that's where it sets. I think the optics of appearing like you've dismissed a member of senior staff, you know, even if I take on that role and it is the CAO for performance reasons who wants to dismiss someone, it's gonna land on my shoulders when I have often no operational clarity as to, you know, what's been happening over the last little while. So at the end of the day, I really think that these powers belong at the senior management table and at the CAO's level.
How would you describe the relationship you have with staff currently?
Exceptional. I work incredibly well with our senior management team. And our CAO, I meet with the CAO at least weekly, often more, to go over various issues and just make sure that the, you know, proverbial wheels are on the bus. And, you know, I just couldn't imagine taking that role away from a manager. You know, if it wasn't through legislation and I tried to do that, it would, you know, I think it would appear as if it was constructive dismissal. So I think we have to be careful about what we're doing from an operational level, especially in a small community like Brighton.
It's funny too, because there's mayor under strong mayor powers also gets to create and dissolve and restructure town departments without the approval from council. So, I mean, that seems like that's in the same bailiwick that we just talked about.
Absolutely. Again, that's something I think belongs at the CAO's table, who can then bring in either of those structural changes to council for approval. We have seven people who are elected to make these decisions on the advice of staff, and I think that's where it's going to stay.
One of the biggest powers the mayors are going to have is the ability to veto council decisions that don't line up with the priorities defined by the provincial government. We've already alluded to that. This can be overridden, though, by two-thirds of a majority by council. What is your reaction to those powers?
So I understand the want to do this, and I understand, you know, there are communities in Ontario where, you know, councils are saying no to development as a rote decision making. You know, it's just no. And if you're, you know, in the mayor's seat and seeing significant priorities, we're in a housing crisis. We know that to be true. And you know that your community needs houses, then maybe that makes sense. But here in Brighton, it makes very little sense, both from the perspective that we have a council that understands that these priorities are in need, and that we have very significant development lands already on the table that, you know, we need to say yes and to, or yes but to, whichever. But we need to say yes. Let's go ahead and build those houses. As long as you do X, Y, and Z, we're okay with that. But also, if you look at the voting record of this council, and even the previous council, even at the end of the previous council's term when things were a bit raucous, we were getting two-thirds majorities anyway, especially for things like housing developments in the community, by and large, unanimous decisions when it comes to housing development practices and development decisions. So then vetoing anything from Brighton would be a fool's errand, because then you already know that it's going to get turned over, because and if it's unanimous, I voted in favor of it anyway, so why would I veto it?
Is there any circumstance where you feel it would be necessary for you to exercise this power?
I don't envision one, no. But, you know, that said, we don't know what we don't know. But today, you know, and as I gaze into the past, there isn't a decision, a bylaw decision, because this is by bylaw, right? It's not just motions of council. I can't think of a bylaw that was passed by this council or the last council that would have required or would have even been a consideration for veto.
It's taken many years to get the wastewater treatment plant addressed, and the treatment plant is a critical component to development. Do you think at any time having strong mayor powers would have made this process better or easier or moved it ahead more quickly with those strong mayor powers?
I seriously doubt it. You know, the creation of this level of this kind of infrastructure takes time. You know, right now we're at 100% design or as close to 100% as one can imagine. We're waiting on a couple of studies in order to move it forward to the RFP stage. Strong mayor powers don't change that. Strong mayor powers don't change you know, environmental assessment needs. They don't change duty to consult needs. They don't change anything. I guess the only thing that could have changed is they could have ordered a report from staff, but those reports were happening anyway. So, you know, what was Brighton missing in all of the whole wastewater plan? It was many millions of dollars, which we've now received. So, you know, that just happened a month and a half ago.
During a recent council meeting, several councillors spoke up expressing their fears related to the strong mayor powers. It is fair to say that the reoccurring theme in their remarks was these powers are anti-democratic. How do you respond to their concerns?
I don't disagree, and I put myself in their shoes. Had these powers been permitted when I was a member of council working under other mayors, I would have had very similar concerns, not because of the mayors, but because of the legislation itself and the removal of what appears to be the removal of authority from a duly elected body of people that represent the community. So I don't disagree with the statements. I'm always concerned with the erosion of democracy and how we account for our decisions to the public. So at the end of the day, does this erode democracy? I guess a little bit, but it's vesting power into a duly elected person as well, right, as the mayor of the municipality.
A number of municipalities have refused the strong mayor powers. Some smaller municipalities like French River in Northern Ontario are saying it's dangerously close to an authoritarian system. Essex County has also turned it down. Should Brighton do the same?
I'm not a fan of throwing away tools that have been provided in the toolbox. The reality is, I don't think that there'll be a lot of use for these. But you know, I have tools in my basement right now that I haven't used. I've used for one project, but never again. And I just don't see the value in throwing away those tools. Will I be delegating certain authorities where I think they belong back to staff? I will be. Will I be delegating certain authorities where I think they belong back to council? I will be. And there are just some that are vested in the strong mayor powers that I'll be hanging on to. And again, I'll be chatting with staff about what that looks like and what we think best practices for Brighton should be.
Well, I'd just like to explore that a little bit more, because you are not required to take all the powers. You've alluded to that earlier and several times in our conversation. So that's great for you, but what about the future and the legacy that could be left, or what could change in the future under these new powers?
Well, you know, I'm not sure how future gazing I should be, but you know, there's only 2 years left in this term. And my understanding of these powers is I'm not choosing these powers for the next mayor. I'm choosing them for me and for this council's term. The next mayor will choose what powers they want to keep and which ones they want to vest in it back to staff and council. So I think the people of Brighton, or whichever community has strong mayor powers, need to think very carefully about who their next mayor should be when they go to the ballot box, and how that mayor may or may not use the powers that have been bestowed upon them.
Well, that brings me to my next question, which is there any thought being given to public engagement around these strong mayor powers? And you've mentioned a little bit about transparency. Can you elaborate upon that and maybe talk how you're going to handle the public engagement side of announcing all of these powers that you decide on, and also how you're going to handle the public going forward as you use them?
Sure. So I do wish there was more time so we could do a little bit more public engagement, but we need to make this decision by Thursday. So, you know, there isn't an opportunity for public engagement. So what that will look like will be a transparency rather than engagement, where I am very clear about what powers I've kept and which powers I've delegated back to staff and or council. And I will be very clear when I use those powers, not just in the public registry, which is important, but also putting a report before council so that they are aware that those decisions are made. And I can assure you that the good people of Brighton have no issue giving me a call and letting me know when we're off the rails and when we're on the rails. So should the powers be used and people think that it's inappropriate, I fully expect that I will hear about that and gratefully hear about that.
Do you worry that the provincial government may respond negatively if you don't toe the line that they want you to toe as a strong mayor? What kinds of threats do you think, or consequences, could end up happening to Brighton if you're not doing it the way they want you to do it?
I guess that's always a possibility, you know, it doesn't keep me up at night. I'll say that. It's not something I'm worried about. You know, at the end, I suppose that the very reason to provide these powers to mayors is essentially to create a sort of backdoor instrument of the province to, you know, make sure things happen. Unless it's in the interest of Brighton, whether it's in the interest of the province or not, I would resist using the powers. As I say, unless it was in the interest of Brighton, the community, the people of Brighton and our council, which means I will be going to council more than not, as I do, rather than using the power. So I guess, yeah, you raise an interesting point that I had not considered, but I will be clear. I will not be an instrument of the province. I'm elected by the people of Brighton, not appointed by the provincial government.
But you've seen when the province withholds important monies for you to move forward on critical projects, like the water treatment plant we talked about earlier. I mean, it can really gum up the works. And if money becomes the lever in which that they can pull, I mean, if you don't toe the line, you could be out for literally millions of dollars to help get done what you need to get done.
So again, in Brighton, I don't see that as a problem. We have a council that has been, you know, because it is in the best interest of Brighton, you know, it turns out we have been providing those provincial priorities and moving things forward from an infrastructure perspective, from a transportation networking perspective, from a housing perspective. So, you know, Mr. Pacini the other day, I heard him turn to someone and say, Brighton's the only place building seniors residences in the county of Northumberland. And he's not wrong. You know, we have a private retirement home that is now built and occupied. We have a long-term care facility that has been approved, and we expect shovels in the ground momentarily. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw another similar style, not LTC, but another. I don't see anything in the plans, but I just wouldn't be surprised. The market's there, and we have a very market focused development community in Brighton. So our council understands what the people of Brighton need and have been setting policies that reflect those needs. They happen to align very well with provincial priorities.
But is this not possibly a first step? I mean, we're talking about housing, and this all fits nicely with your goals and objectives and how your council behaves. But what's going to be the next priority that the province is going to announce? Or, you know, how could this roll along as the number of priorities increase, and then the pressure then becomes maybe this isn't quite a nice fit as we have at the moment?
Again, you know, it's hard for me to future gaze past the next 2 years, to be quite frank. That's how long I'm in this office anyway. And I guess we'll have to see what the next steps are. But, you know, you raise a valid point. We don't know whether this is a third step along the path to something else, or whether this is, you know, great, here's where it ends. I listened very carefully to the throne speech to see if there was anything municipally centric in the throne speech. There wasn't. That means nothing. From this government especially, we know that they will change how we operate and how we act as municipalities as they choose, as is their right under the Constitution, whether we like that or not.
So what's next?
Here in Brighton, the next step is the CAO and I will sit down today and come up with the list of strong mayor powers that I will be keeping and which ones I will be delegating to staff and or council. We will be drafting that letter in the next day or two to Municipal Affairs and Housing, letting them know which ones they are. And that letter will be sent to council to appear on an agenda for the public and council to be aware of what powers have been kept here in Brighton, what powers have been delegated.
No consultations with councillors?
No, not at this stage. That's not the intent.
Brian Ostrander, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Robert. It is always a pleasure.
That was Brighton Mayor Brian Ostrander. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today.
Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.